foundational tools to develop a biblical worldview. Welcome to Mentoring Matters, a listener-supported program of SharonHearts.org. With the world's culture invading the church, it is vital that we establish some deeper roots in biblical truth in order to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So join us now as we let the Word of God give us foundational tools to develop and maintain a biblical worldview.
Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins.
And this is Janie Ratzlaff.
And today, Janie, we are continuing on with the names of God that we find in Psalm 23. And we have covered up to part of verse 3. So Psalm 23, verse 3 says, "He restoreth my soul, and that is the Lord makes whole." And we talked about that last week. And so today we're going to continue on with verse 3. The second half of it says, "He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake."
And Sharon, this is one of those words we're going to hope we're getting fairly close with. Jehovah Tsidkenu.
Okay.
Now that's probably getting about 50% of it correct.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But that is our Lord, our righteousness.
Okay.
And righteousness is all that God is in the person of Jesus Christ has made available to every lamb that he has ever created, which would be every person on planet Earth, because he sees us as his lamb.
Well, in Jeremiah 23:6, the Lord declared that Jesus would be called the Lord our righteousness.
Well, and then Romans 1:17 is a very important verse, because the first 16 verses have really talked about the greatness of God and his sovereignty. And then it says in verse 17 of Romans 1, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Sharon, we are taking on something that is very simple and living in a world where the enemy has so made it complex through craftiness, putting thoughts in our mind that don't balance. Who would ever have thought that a dear precious saint would think that the sovereignty of God could have equal billing with the destruction of Satan? Because Satan can still run around and approach the throne to accuse us.
Right.
So we need to be so careful as we go into seeing that righteousness, Sharon, can really cover everything. And here is how I believe the scriptures have taught us on that. There is only one righteous in and of himself, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have sobering verses that tell us in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," sovereignty, Godhead, "the iniquity of us all." And that him is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And then moving on in Isaiah, it says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf." Mm-hmm. Now, Sharon, that leaves us in kind of a desperation for life.
Yeah.
So we can see that someone greater than our own wisdom and our ability is to get us out of this jam. We cannot fix ourselves. So now I want to also assure you of him. This is in 1 Corinthians 1:22. "But of him," and him is a capital, "you are in Jesus Christ, That's because we're a new creature, because we've believed on him, and thou shalt be saved, who became for us wisdom from God. I'm going to repeat that now. Because of him, we are in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. So we need to understand the righteousness that we have in him, so that the sanctification, which is an ongoing being set apart,
right,
of the righteousness,
okay,
can continue.
Okay.
It is a progression. But the righteousness we need to understand first and foremost. All right?
Right.
So let's just try 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Okay.
Which tells us that he made himself who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Oh.
We can become the righteousness of God? Huh? Really? Oh, it says in him. We are having to be placed in him, which earlier in this same chapter tells us that we're a new creature in Christ. And then we can be reconciled to him. So we find that the promises given to us in life and death are in the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ paid the price to restore our relationship with God and his righteousness.
So it's his righteousness that gives us that right standing before God the Father.
It covers everything.
And okay,
then we can start to break down. And then let's do the first thing on breaking down. Let's go to Colossians 1:17.
Okay.
And it says, he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, to have preeminence and to be reconciled all that believe. Now, the words that I want to emphasize there is a three-letter word, all. And he is before all things. So whatever happened in time past, whatever is happening currently, whatever is going to happen in time future, he is before all those things. They're all oneness with him right now.
Okay.
Past, present, and future. And then in him, all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, to have preeminence. Can you imagine trying to separate a head and a body?
Well,
now, when the head is separated from the body, it's death.
It's death.
And we know that there are nations and people today that are doing that very thing to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They're beheading them.
Right.
And we know that even some of the 12 apostles knew beheading.
Yes.
And then I can go, oh, but Sharon, why would God ever let one of his chosen ones be beheaded? Is that a gracious God? Is that a tender, loving God that allow one of his own to be beheaded? Well, if I don't believe that he is before all things and he knows all things, then I can say he does allow his children to go through suffering. And now we're back to one of the foundational verses of Philippians, that I might know him and the depths of who he is in the power of his resurrection, so that I can understand the fellowship of his sufferings.
Right.
And when we are taught that once you accept Christ, everything is just going to be wonderful, you're just going to be able to serve.
Mm-hmm.
So if we really want to serve according to the Spirit, we must understand what it is to be of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then in Matthew 6:33, it gives us a hint on where to start.
Okay.
And these are Jesus' words in the red letter edition when he is talking to people, where he says, therefore, don't worry what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But, and there's that word again, but God says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Wow.
So that prioritizes why righteousness is such an important word for us to get a hold of, where we're struggling, where God has made something simple that the enemy has tried to confuse.
Right.
All right, and draw us away from it. And then there is one other verse where we can make an appeal to our Father God. But as for me, I will come unto your house in the multitude of your mercy, in fear. And that doesn't mean, oh, my teeth are shaking. It means in reverence of you. I will worship you towards your holy temple. And then here is the request. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. Why? Because of my enemies. We need the righteousness to know how to stand against the enemy. Make your way straight before my face. Is this not enough encouragement, Sharon, today to recognize that we need to understand the covering of righteousness to make the path smooth and clear, even when it requires suffering?
Yes, that is so true. And that's why mentoring matters. Mentoring Matters is a listener-supported discipleship program of Sharon Hart's ministry. Join a community seeking to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, with resource materials available for the journey at sharonhearts.org. That's SHARIN hearts.org.